thanks for joining us for another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a good one for you tonight. It's a bye week, but I don't know about you guys. It always seems to be more busy on a bye week, at least since we've been doing this pod. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But, the fallout from Brian Kelly and others now that are now gone, which we'll get into. And, of course, looking to next week to Bama. Tall task right out of the gates. Hope you're ready. I don't know. I think Daniel got some people big mad online. I don't know what the heck happened there. We'll get into all that. But before we do, just wanted to check in with you boys, see how you're doing. Hope you had a great week. Had a good Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving, sorry. Hope you had a good Halloween. Sorry, I had my mind on Thanksgiving. I was talking about it right before the pod. But anyway, Tommy, Daniel, how y'all doing?
Good. Good to be with you. It's another Bama week. This is our sixth Bama week we've covered in this podcast. So, kind of crazy to think about that. But not as excited about what might be the on-field product, but there's a lot of new changes coming to the LSU football program, and excited to be able to watch it all with you and watch it unfold as well as talk about it.
Yes, doing well. It's been a really crazy week in Tigerland, considering last week's episode was coming on the breaking news of Brian Kelly being fired, and there's been so much aftermath and changes since then, including Scott Woodward's departure, the governor's involvement, and millions of posts online, including our most viral post of all time on the Talking Tigs Twitter, which I'll get into in a little bit here. But yeah, certainly a lot to digest, and I mean, we got Bama coming right around the corner, so if we can get a win there, that would be awesome. Not too optimistic, but always something to look forward to.
True. And it has been a weird week, right? Just with, Kelly gone, like mid-season, which, I mean, that's what they did to O. Remember, they did that with Miles, too, right? Like, there was a tarmac meeting, supposedly. But anyway, I don't remember, but they did it in a bye week. Frank Wilson said all the right things since then. I feel good about that. They're letting old players back. I feel like good about that. Maybe they'll get some mojo back, getting those old guys in the stadium. I don't know. It's kind of hard to build toughness midway through the season, but I think that's just what we need. Maybe just have them around the guys that did it could help. It does still feel weird to just see all the news about it, because it's like it's a national story. It was a national story when Kelly came, but that was, we were all riding high about that. But this is, he's on his way out the door now. Don't know who it's going to be next. I don't think we will know until probably the playoff starts. But just checking in with you guys. Where are you at a week into it, Tommy? Is it, do you feel better? Are you still kind of like in the, not denial stage, but somewhere between denial and acceptance?
I mean, I would say there's still a little bit of shock. Mm-hmm. Shock. I think that earlier, I'm the idiot that predicted us to be 11-1 and it, predicted us to be rolling on to the playoff at this point. So, that things went this badly, in a matter of weeks, I'm not saying that it was a bad decision by any means, but it's still kind of shocking. But I would say, how do I feel about the state of the program? Well, we haven't had a major exodus in commits yet. Nobody's said that they're sitting out. Like, nobody said like, okay, I'm going to opt out for the rest of the season.
Didn't Perkins? Or is that just fake?
I think that was a rumor, but it was a rumor. It didn't actually say anything.
Yeah, that kept going around from No Three Sports, which the logo looks just like On Three, but it's like flipped in O instead of O N. So to my knowledge, nobody said they're sitting out or opting out for the rest of the season. Which I think those are two good things. I think you mentioned with the interim coach Frank Wilson, this is a guy who's probably recruited, a lion's share of the team. From what reports coming out of the the program have said, he was doing a lot of the day to day operations of head coach, for Kelly. I talked to somebody close to the program last week. He said that there are numerous staffers who would talk to him and kind of just not, or I guess kind of complain or just mention that, like, we don't see Brian Kelly except for one. We only have one meeting a week. Mm-hmm. And it's a Thursday for 30 minutes before a game. If there's no game, we don't meet with him. And so, like, these are like, you know, position coaches and things like that. So, there was definitely what's that?
No, I was going to say, okay, well, who is it? Like, is it the uniform people or, but yeah, if it's a position coach, they can't get more than 30 minutes a week.
Yeah.
No wonder.
And I mean, I'm sure they're seeing him around and everything, but as far as getting everybody in together to do we all have jobs. Like, we all do staff meetings. It's important to get on the same page with everybody involved in an organization. And I know for a fact you can, I mean, not to make this about, or not to compare us constantly to Bama during Bama week, but I've seen the documentaries, I've seen the behind the scenes of Saban's Alabama. I mean, they would have huge meetings every day with a huge conference table of every position coach and assistant and analyst and everybody, and Saban's in the middle and Kirby Smart's there and all these people. And they're talking, they're having a 30 minute meeting before practice on, okay, we're gonna get every second out of this practice that we can. We're gonna stretch for 5 minutes. We're gonna go, then we're gonna run to this. Like, I remember watching that and just watching the organization. So, and this is a guy I believe. So if that's true, you've got a coach who, again, was being paid $10 million a year, who can't even meet with his staff for more than 30 minutes a week during a game, during a game week. Again, I think that shows it. So all that to say, I think Frank Wilson is the one who was really delegated to, of like, okay, you're, you know, now how many Frank Wilson might've met with everybody multiple times a week and gotten everybody on the same page. And that's how we had, the little bit of success that we did. So I think it's a good, having him in that, interim role is the best possible situation. And I'd say we're in as good a position as we can be 1 week after firing our massively touted coach.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, nothing really has changed too much on the coaching front. There hasn't been any big announcements of hires or anything really, other than naming Frank Wilson the interim. And so it's kind of a lot of smoke and mirrors, people discussing what really went on behind the scenes. And that's not quite clear at this point, which is unfortunate for all of us prying eyes on the internet who want to know the down low backroom conversations between Kelly and Woodward and Jeff Landry and all the rest of the power players. We'll talk about Woodward in a second. But yeah, Kelly, he's laying low, hasn't really been seen much other than in the immediate following after his departure Sunday night. A source very close to Talking Tig saw him at Superior Grill on Government Street in Baton Rouge, not the Highland location. But yeah, him and his wife just waltzed in and sat down at the table, not too much commotion, got a drink, and then he was having his lunch. But they snapped a picture of him sitting there and then posted it to our account, and it just kind of blew up with everybody like, what in the world is going on here? Like, Kelly just got fired, now he's waltzing around Baton Rouge having a meal.
It was honestly a brave move for him. Superior Grill. Now,
power move. It's a power move.
That's what somebody said. You know, one guy I saw, commenting on it was like, this is the most, I respect him the most of any of the whole time that he's been there for this. Yeah. Because now there are two Superior Grill locations. The Highland one is the superior. It's closer to campus. It's more frequented. But going to Superior Grill, either one, that's a high profile place. I mean, you got to give the man credit for being bold and going out there and standing on business and ordering like the large queso without flinching.
Exactly. And in the post, the picture that we had of him sitting there really blew up on Twitter, having almost 4 million views and 300,000 impressions, which for us is like a monsoon, which we appreciated. So that was pretty cool. And then there was later on in the day, we saw the video of him getting onto the private jet at Baton Rouge Airfield and leaving town. So that really was
we let somebody else get that one. We didn't have to break news twice in one day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that really was his last meal in Baton Rouge before heading out to who knows where. So adios to Mr. Kelly. Kind of a strange and funny closing chapter. People were even like recreating his pose like in other locations. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then I guess we can get into the day, or was it 2 days after? Then there was the news that Jeff Landry had, I don't really know exactly what happened, but not ordered to leave or fired, I guess, but told the board of supervisors to let Woodward go something. I don't know if you have a better scoop on that, Tommy.
Started with a Monday. No, was it Monday? On Monday, the governor gave a press conference where he told, was it Monday? Monday or Tuesday? Anyways.
Yeah, Monday he said that he was like going to be, or that Woodward was not going
Woodward
to be.
Woodward would not make the hire. Mm-hmm. Now this is, you know, I think in Baton Rouge circles around like people have kind of known the governor and Woodward have not gotten along or just did not see the eye to eye for a while now. And the, so he told him in that press conference that, you know, that Woodward would not be making the hire. I think that obviously Scott Woodward as athletic director didn't really like that. And there was some kind of internal battle back and forth. And then, you know, as reported by multiple sources, like the word was given to the board of supervisors. They kind of say that it was a mutual parting of ways. I've heard both. I've heard that, you know, Woodward was like, I don't want to be part of this anymore. I've heard that there was a push to say you need to, you know, no, you're out. I know that when Kelly was fired, right after, people were like, Woodward is in trouble. People have, as you've seen on social media, you know, he's been kind of rightly or wrongly blamed for not only like this contract, which is objectively bad. I mean, the fact that we're paying Brian Kelly $54 million not to coach is bad from a university perspective or from an athletic program perspective. Mm-hmm. But he did it. But they did it at A&M as well with Jimbo Fisher. And so now I think there are some kind of arguments about, did he negotiate that contract with Jimbo or not? Because it was kind of in that transition period between when he moved from A&M to LSU. But the point stands, like, the man has a track record. We talked about it. It's not a live by the sword, die by the sword. When he was going out to hire Brian Kelly, we said he's a big game hunter. He's going to go try and get the biggest name, the most, you know, high profile he can. Well, that comes with a price. And he wasn't afraid to pay it. I think that, or Scott, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but you just said it though. It didn't work out at A&M. So it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, I can't get fooled again. But I don't see why he did that the same way. Like, he had, like, what made him think that Brian Kelly, oh yeah, he's good for 10 years, we'll be happy.
You know,
like, what? That is on Scott, but there is all this other success aside from that. So yeah, maybe just take away his play calling duties. I mean, I think it's interesting though that the head coach is gone. The AD is going to be now gone, but all in this, LSU is without a president. It's like there's a three changing of the guards going all in at once, which probably adds to the mix, adds to the confusion.
Well, I mean, yes, the presidential search has been something ongoing from before. I mean, they were William Tate was out, and they were looking for a president before football season even started. So, I think that. No, I do think that eventual president, which is, you know, all signs are pointing towards the president at McNeese State, the current president of McNeese State, Wade Bruce, they anticipate he might have a hand in, you know, helping pick a new athletic director, and somebody who they've named on the short list of athletic director candidates is his guy from McNeese. Is it Schroyer? Yeah, Heath Schroyer. Now, you know, we talk about,
sounds familiar.
Like, typically you might say, like, man, LSU does not need to be getting the AD from McNeese. Like, isn't that a downgrade? I don't disagree objectively, but he is the man who went and hired Will Wade. So if we're judging, and McNeese, I think, did they make two appearances in the NCAA tournament with Wade? Like, yeah, they had a lot of success in a very short amount of time. So, I think that's, you know,
that's something. That is something. He's not a complete idiot.
Yeah, exactly. No, you did. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like what you said, though, Scott, of like, well, Woodward, you know, he's had some success too. Like, look at Kim Mulkey or look at Jay Johnson. It's like, well, I mean, anybody could pick Kim Mulkey. Like, I could tell you,
sure,
let's go hire Kim Mulkey, and like, you win in women's basketball. Jay Johnson, I don't think anybody could argue like that's a great hire. And that is something that it worked out. It's brought in a new or revitalized a baseball program that was, I mean, still winning, still making appearances in the College World Series, but has taken it to a whole other level.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So we can agree, I guess, Scott Woodward's good at maybe the blackjack tables. He needs to stay away from the high dollar. Yeah. Or just like the Baccarat tables, you know, $50,000 a hand or whatever. Anyway, real quick though, as far as all this has been going on, you know, like you said, no recruits are going. What coaches do you think will stay? Because I know the fan base would be probably upset if they knew that Corey Raymond and who else might be leaving? There was one other coach that they didn't want to go.
I mean, you don't want to lose Frank Wilson. You don't want to lose Corey Raymond again.
Frank Wilson, yeah.
Probably Blake Baker too, D coordinator, although the defense has been a little iffy in the last couple of weeks.
I think he might be going either way. Well, I think the D coordinator position depends on who your head coach hire is. I think you can tell an incoming head coach, hey, you need to keep a few of these assistants because, you know, for instance, like Frank Wilson runs recruiting, he is Louisiana recruiting. He had a great track record. He found Tyrann Mathieu. Corey Raymond is the godfather of DBU. Like, we've talked about it. We talked about how it was a mistake when he was let go to Florida. And we're happy he's back, and it seems to be a huge success. And I think keeping DJ Pickett is incumbent on keeping Corey Raymond. I've seen him multiple times. In fact, when I was at football ops the week before, or actually just days before the Clemson game, Corey Raymond and DJ Pickett were walking around. Like, everywhere DJ Pickett went, Corey Raymond was with him. They ate lunch together. They were walking all around the program or the building. If you watched some of the not undercover video, but like the behind the scenes video of the players meeting, Corey Raymond walked in with DJ Pickett to the announcement of Brian Kelly leaving the team. So I think that keeping them is not going to be an issue, or at least it shouldn't be. Keeping Blake Baker, and as we talk about like potential coaches, you know, some of the hot names right now, I mean, Lane Kiffin is probably top of the list. Is he going to want to bring Pete Golding? There's only room for one D coordinator.
Mm-hmm. And then that's the next question is where do things go from here? How do these dominoes fall? And so we mentioned the president search. I think it starts there over the next couple of weeks. I think they're down to like the final three, and they'll probably get that picked.
We should probably know something this week.
Mm-hmm. Then after that, then he's going to make his suggestions, and the board of directors will find the athletic director. And then that chains down to the head coaching decision. And then hopefully players and assistant coaches staying in line or mixed up after that. And that could be a while. Like you said, not even till after the season. It's pretty rare to hire somebody mid season, although not unheard of. And the option to get somebody like immediately or sooner than the season would be somebody from who's not even coaching right now. And then the big name that everybody was drumming up was Nick Saban. Would he come back to college coaching? There were rumors that LSU has put up to a $20 million a year package for him to come back. Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but I feel like no. there's not much incentive for him to do it either way. I mean, there's the thought that, oh, he has some unfinished business at LSU, that LSU was the place he liked the most. And I could see that, but he's 74 years old at this point, and he's got a pretty cushy job on College Game Day to step back onto the field and potentially damage his reputation if things don't go well. Kind of a la Bill Belichick is pretty high, I think. So that doesn't seem very likely. But yeah, the rest of the season is just going to be a monitoring of the rest of the big name candidates. There were rumors that Dan Lanning already made a flight down to Baton Rouge. There was like a flight tracker from Eugene, Oregon to Baton Rouge like the day after. Keep an eye on him. John Sumrall of Tulane was a big name that people are still talking about, but Tulane had a really rough game on national TV on Thursday. So that might have dimmed his star a little bit in some eyes. And then all the rest, I guess, big name coaches, including Lane Kiffin, to monitor, but I guess they'll ride with Frank. The other wrinkle is that, I mean, we'll talk about this here in a second with Alabama, but if LSU suddenly starts winning somehow with Frank Wilson, like, will there be a push like to keep him on permanently, a la Ed Orgeron? Some people think we need to keep losing so that doesn't happen, like, so that we can get somebody else. But if we have a miracle win against Alabama, expect some discussion in that regard.
Yeah. No, and just a one note, I don't know how this is, I don't know if this is going to actually play out practically, but Board of Supervisors President Scott Ballard, there's a lot of Scots in this conversation. Scott Ballard told the media at the end of last week, I believe, that the priority was to hire a head coach first, then AD. Now, I don't know if they're going to do that. Maybe it's a package deal. Maybe it's something where that, like we said, where they get a president, the president brings in the AD right away. I don't know, but I think that I would not be surprised if the AD that quote unquote hires the coach is Verge, who's our acting AD at this moment. In the press conference on Thursday morning or Friday morning told the media that he was already taking calls. He was already speaking with coaches and you know, doing that legwork. I think he's a good person to have. He's a 25 year LSU veteran who played for the program and eats, breathes, sleeps LSU. So I'm happy with that, and I wouldn't be as concerned. I don't think we're going to miss out on a candidate because we're too busy looking for an AD while everyone else is hiring coaches.
Right. It all goes back to Verge. But I just want to know, did he say, "I am the search"? It made me think back to the Oliva days. Like,
that was iconic.
"I am the search." Yeah, it was. Talk about power move. Anyway, I don't know.
Referencing departed guys, former president Will Wade was like sending some kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it.
You mean William Tate?
Yeah, well, that's it, Will Wade.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, he's gone, but I don't think he chimed in. But yeah, Bill Tate was sending some cryptic tweets. I don't know if he's kind of like rubbing it in, kind of saying he got out of this before it all happened, but he didn't really seem to have much to say about this whole situation.
He keeps putting out the weird tweets. He put the one of the Wire, which I'm not even really familiar with that meme, but he put like a meme from the Wire. And then he put one out. Did you see the one of him skeet shooting today?
I like The Wire though. I got that reference somewhat. At least I know I knew what was going on there. But
he put out this one today of him skeet shooting, and he just said, "You come at the king, you best not miss."
Whoa, dude. Okay,
I've met the guy before. He's not like a very intimidating guy. So
it's like a mob boss.
It's pretty hilarious for him to be like, you know, on Twitter, like real tough guy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, we'll get to that in a second, but when you said mob boss, that got me thinking too, because we never talked about it last week, but it was the gambling story that broke with Chauncey Billups and like those NBA guys rigging those poker games. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
You did? Okay. So yeah, I mean, I was going to bring it up last week. I forgot, but I don't know. It'll tie into a story a little bit later. But going back to what was said not too long ago, Saban is coach, doubtful. I think he truly is done. I think because now when he's coming in, he's trying to assess a kid, you know, he's trying to get the kid to play there. And like he said, like either the kid or maybe just the parents are just all about, okay. So how much can we get? You know, that's all they care about. So I don't think he would want to step into coaching again. I could be wrong. I mean, he came back after the Dolphins and went straight to Alabama. But what about Saban as AD?
I think there is some truth to that. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be in as the AD, like a day-to-day staffer type job. I could see it being more of like a overseer of football or like another
analyst position.
No, like something higher, something we've never seen before.
Okay.
Because you think Saban's going to sit there and be like, you know, in every, like, and we talk about meetings, like in all these meetings every day, like with the other ADs and with Verge, like doing all, no.
He's like, but like, guys, I got commercials to shoot. What are we doing?
With Affleck, like he's got stuff to do. But I could see him coming back as like a, I think you're right. I think there's some unfinished business. I think that we, you know, if you know the LSU lore and the way that's, and Saban and Skip Bertman never got along. And Skip Bertman was really the reason that when Saban went to Miami and it wasn't working out, he called Skip Bertman and said, can I come back? And Skip Bertman told him, no, we've got a guy who's, you know, just as good. Amazing when you think about that, because like, can you imagine if Skip Bertman said, yes, you can come back? Like, where would we be?
All right, come on back. Don't do that shit again.
Yeah, really. But it could be like him coming back in a new position could kind of be like the last poke in the eye to the rival Skip Bertman, who we never got along with. But do I, you know, am I going to bet my house on it? No. Do I think it's a possibility? I think there's more. I think it's more of a possibility than like people said, like, oh, well, he should go take the Penn State job or like something like that, like, or USC. Yeah, I've heard people talk about like that Lincoln Riley might be going somewhere else. Like, oh, maybe Saban takes USC. It's like, no, he's not doing that. But does he come back in something in like a new, bigger role, almost like the king of LSU football? Maybe.
That would be a title.
We already had a king as president, so why can't we have a king of football?
Yeah, exactly. Now, going to back to the coaching search, yeah, I don't think they would announce. I don't know. I would be surprised to hear the coaching before the end of the season, right? That is just highly unlikely. I don't know. Do you think we hear before the end of the year, like before January 1st?
I hope so. I mean, just because they don't announce doesn't mean the search isn't happening. Like they're making calls
or over.
Yeah. All the time. It just depends on who's listening and how many dollars Jimmy Sexton wants his clients to accrue over the course of this operation.
Jimmy Sexton's going to extract every single dollar he can.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other question in the matter is how much does LSU want to pay? Cause to get a big, big name like Brian Kelly, we had to pay up close to $100 million over the course of the contract. And that may be the way it goes again. And there's rumors that LSU does want to make a splash with the coaching hire. And the frustrating thing there is, do we get ourselves right back into the exact same situation by overpaying over a long time scale? There are other coaches maybe who don't have quite the same pedigree, but maybe you can get them a little bit cheaper on a shorter option, 3 or 4 years. With options to extend after that. And that's kind of what I hope happens. And not saying that I want us to get like a bargain bin coach, but try and get the right guy for the right price and not hamstring our own program just trying to get a splashy name.
What about Lincoln Riley? Flirted with him a few years ago.
I was going to say, we flirted with him. He told the media emphatically, I will not be the coach at LSU. I mean, could it happen? It could.
Maybe get Hugh Freeze at a discount right now.
Yeah, routine. At least he's an offensive or a play caller, maybe.
He's got like complete the SEC West like coaching carousel because he was at Ole Miss, Arkansas, Auburn.
Hugh Freeze was at Arkansas?
Or no, I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind, but still.
Oh. Yeah. You know, one other note as we're talking about coaching searches, again, like, and I'm not saying Kiffin's the guy, but he is the one that's like probably the biggest name with the most smoke around it for the LSU being LSU's next coach. I looked into his contract, and like a big consideration obviously is like the buyout that we would have to pay to Ole Miss to get him out of that Ole Miss contract. It's only $3 million, which I'm like, dang. I mean, in the world of $54 million, $38 million, like all the $3 million to buy him out doesn't sound that bad.
Oh, Gordon could take care of that.
And that's people were saying that one major donor paid most of Ryan Kelly's buyout, which we didn't even talk about, that it seems like his buyout might be getting lowered, negotiated down due to some morality clauses. That's all kind of hearsay stuff at this point. But and then a lot of people are saying that the one big donor is Todd Graves, Mr. Raising Cane's himself. So expect the price of your local box combo to be about tripling in the near future so he can recoup his investment.
Yep. Or he's looking for some franchisees. I mean, how far are they? Like I know they're way over here on the East Coast. Like, are they like West Coast too? Cause
I believe it's all over at this point. They're all blown up.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So yeah, I mean, maybe he does. I mean, he had enough to buy like what, 13,000 Jello shots. So let him do it.
It's a $17 billion business, I think. Is that right? I think I saw that.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think we'd all be surprised if we saw something before the end of the week, but I mean, we do have Bama this upcoming weekend. I would say, man, if the Tigers could do basically what South Carolina did, you know, even if they did lose, even if it was like a bad play that they could have easily avoided, I think that's still a win for us at this point. Yeah. We don't expect a win, but I mean, if they came out and won, yeah, then we'd be like, oh my God, see, but, highly unlikely. I mean, they did give us the night game, right? So
yeah, time for another primetime thumping on national TV.
I was very surprised by them giving us the night game, but I mean, I'll take it. Is it the night game on ABC?
Yes, it's the game of the day, which is kind of crazy.
The one that Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler will be at, and they'll watch us. You'll get to watch us lose by 30. So that's
they'll
cool.
Probably just be talking coaching and political intrigue most of the game once the on the field stuff kind of settles out. That might be why that they want to just put LSU on the national stage. It's like, what's going on down there in Baton Rouge?
Let's just roast them.
Yeah,
might talk about Peter too.
Just in the doghouse. Alabama currently favored by 10.5, which seems a little low to me. Especially at home in Tuscaloosa. This is kind of one of those games you can almost talk yourself into saying like LSU is going to be competitive. It's the first game with the new interim head coach. They're going to have a little more pep in their step. Kelly's gone. But
the kids want to play for Frank, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but then the kind of logical side of your brain takes over. Is like we just got crushed by Vanderbilt, crushed by A&M. Alabama probably as good, if not better, than those teams in Tuscaloosa. Doesn't look good. So I'm predicting somewhere like a 14-17 point loss for LSU, unfortunately. But South Carolina kept it close with Bama this past week. They had a chance to win it at the end, but kind of choked it away.
Exactly.
So you never know, but optimism slightly low at this point.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all fancy a score prediction. I'd say if LSU keeps it within, you know, two touchdowns, that's amazing. I'd say they played their hearts out.
I would go with like an LSU, like, I mean, with Bama 38, LSU maybe 13. I mean, I think we score. I think we'll, you know, but I think we'll be stifled a lot. Frank said that we're going to run the ball a lot this week. You know, he's like, you know, you can be sure we're going to run the ball, which is good. But, I don't see us putting up a ton of points on Bama. I think that they'll probably, especially with Whit Weeks, I'm guessing he's going to be out again.
They said he's probably trending that way.
I mean, let's see if Let's see if there's any.
Well, the original plan was for him to be ready to come back versus Alabama after that injury, but there hasn't been any news that I know of, which makes me think that it's still kind of lingering, I guess. I was going to say on my score prediction, 31-17, Alabama. One slightly interesting wrinkle is that LSU has done poorly against these kind of dual threat quarterbacks like Chambliss from Ole Miss and Marcel Reed from A&M. And Ty Simpson is more like, he can run, but he's not like a splash and dash guy. So he's a little bit more pocket passer. So maybe we have a better chance on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not quite sure. Cause we did eat up Cade Klubnik and DJ Lagway in the early games, but we're pretty far removed from that LSU at this point. So
I think we can all agree that both those guys are pretty much pretenders when as we have the whole season to look at it.
So I'm hoping for the best, but kind of expecting the worst in this case. And another interesting thing will be whether Frank Wilson continues to ride with Nussmeier as a starting quarterback. I think he's already said that will be the case, at least to start with, but does he have a shorter leash and put in Van Buren if things go south? Could be something interesting to watch.
Well, he said it definitely. I think we probably would see it. He said, no, Garrett's our guy. That's our quarterback. But this other guy can do stuff too, and we'll probably look at using what he can do. I mean, how much and how often we don't know, but I think we're gonna see some of that because why not, dude? I don't know. Is Garrett really getting that banged up on each play, or is he like limping just to for attention or just to try and fool? I don't know, but it's like you can't see that every play, and if we were to do that at Alabama, he can't be limping off the field and not try something different, not try Michael Van Buren, I think we see it. Score prediction.
I think that everything will be on the table for this game. I mean, you're playing with house money. What are they going to do? Fire me? you know what I mean?
I think Frank understands the assignment.
Yeah.
I still say Alabama 42, LSU 24. We're still stuck at 24, but I think that, we could probably keep it close for like a quarter or two, but I don't know. It's, I guess we're kind of feel like, we're going to be just outside the playoff looking in again and just try and regroup for next year with all this talent that we thought we could have done that with this year. Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. There's other teams like Tennessee, they got three losses now. So does that mean they're out? Oklahoma is probably one loss away from three. So, I mean, we face them at the end of the season. A lot of football left to be played. I'm not saying the Tigers are still in it by any means, but I'm saying there's a chance.
Well, we're going to run the table, man.
We'd have to.
We're going to go into Oklahoma, beat them, beat Arkansas, beat Western Kentucky. Some other teams are going to lose. Nussmeier is going to lead us to a national championship. Brian Kelly will be reinstated as head coach.
Ooh.
There's never been a three-loss playoff team, but have you considered a four-loss playoff team? Yeah.
We want that. We'll bring back Miles. The man could do it. Okay, so I think we're all in agreement with Alabama. Now, these other games, I don't know. I mean, there's some other, some other good football that's going on. Tennessee and Oklahoma look good for a while. You had the cocktail party game, Georgia, Florida, which, again, it just goes to show you, even if you're down, your coach is gone, you're already looking at, it's going to be another losing season. I mean, Florida still came to play. So it's up to the guys that are still wearing the uniform and the guys that are still wearing the headsets. So I think LSU has the personnel to do it. It's just getting them all on the same page. And that's what BK couldn't do, right? He just couldn't get everybody on the same page. He just has to coach better. But he's not going to get that opportunity. I don't know, Vanderbilt in Texas, it ended up close. I mean, SMU took out Miami. I don't know.
I feel like an embarrassing showing for the SMU fans. You storm the field and take down the goalposts after beating a two-loss, number 10 Miami when you were just in the playoff last year.
Yeah.
Have a little pride. Act like you've been there before.
Right.
All sorts of stormings these days. And then who did Georgia Tech lose to? NC State.
Storming
against Georgia Tech. Storming the field against perennial powerhouse Georgia Tech. It's going too far.
With that one, I get it just a little bit more. I will give NC State a little bit more credit just because, I mean, when's the last time they won a football game of any importance at all?
True.
I think that, the last time NC State was relevant was like when Jimmy V was coaching them in basketball. So,
right.
I would say I give them a little, I agree. Like, I mean, it's still Georgia Tech and like, but they were having they're still putting together a great season. It'll be the best season they've had in years.
Wasn't that where Russell Wilson start? Like he was there, right? Yeah,
he played for 1 or 2 years at NC State and then went to Wisconsin.
Then went to Wisconsin, right. Yeah, no, I feel like the NC State's, it's like any one of these ACC teams. Every once in a while, yeah, they're going to knock off somebody, but like that's it. You know, it's not like a program turnaround type win. But I don't know. There was any others that you guys wanted to talk about this week or any other happenings? Like you said, we said earlier, Hugh Freeze gone as well. So there's going to be a lot of head coaching opportunities. I don't know. Do you think is that kind of help or hurt us? I mean, obviously if there's more guys looking, then I think that's less leverage maybe LSU has for like their guy, the top guy. If he's like, oh, okay, well LSU seemed like it, but ooh, Auburn, I think their expectations might be less, you know? I don't know. Just,
if I was an up-and-comer, to be honest, I don't think I would be super attracted to Auburn. That seems almost like a poison pill over the last 10 years or so. Like, not much good has happened for Auburn.
Look, you go back to 2011, right? That was when they won with Cam Newton. You had Gene Chizik, Gus Malzahn. Malzahn had a decent tenure there, as far as length goes. Then it was Brian Harsin for, like, a year and a half. Then Hugh Freeze for how long? Like 3 years. If I'm a coach, I don't know. I feel like the expectations might be higher on the Plains than at Tiger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with LSU, like you got O stayed for a while. Les Miles stayed forever. O stayed for a while. Kelly got 4 years. It's longer than Harsin got.
Yeah. Yeah, but now look at it. You have Florida. You have LSU. You now have Auburn. There's also Arkansas. I don't know if there's anyone else in the SEC that's on the seat like that. So that's probably it for the firings this year, right? Because, there's other conferences too. Like, I guess they're riding with Mike Norvell down in FSU. I guess. But who else?
Penn State's out. Penn State,
yeah, thank you. There's others.
Has Wisconsin fired Luke Fickell yet?
I don't think so. Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah.
They got rid of Gundy. UCLA, if we forget this, they fired their coach after like what?
Like week three.
Three. And there is someone else that fired their coach that time too. But anyway. Yeah, dude, it's coach's dream season this offseason. But anyway, I don't know, anything else that you guys wanted to toss out there? I did have one more item, but
I would note that Duke beat Clemson 46-45 last night, which, kind of continues to make our Clemson win look worse and worse and worse. We started out with a, what we thought was a slugfest between juggernauts. And now, they lost. They've lost to Syracuse, Georgia Tech,
yikes,
SMU, and Duke.
Mm.
I mean, nice. Dabo. It's Dabo on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question.
I don't know. Does he like gumbo?
Yeah, there was a bit of buzz. It's like, does LSU go after Dabo? It's like, I don't know if I want to touch that.
Yeah, really.
And then on the upcoming games this week, College Game Day going to Lubbock, Texas for Texas Tech versus BYU, a Big 12 matchup, 8-9. So that could be pretty good. 11 a.m. Central kickoff. Like we said, LSU's the 6:30 p.m. Central ABC primetime game. Kind of crazy after all that's happened to us, but not too much big matchups other than that. A&M going to Missouri. A&M still been on a roll, but Missouri could put up a fight in Columbia to notch the Aggies' first loss. What else we got?
That's possible. Yeah. I don't know. Georgia had a big week, a big win against Florida this week, but man, Mississippi State, they're giving it. Their record doesn't show, but they can play some football. Like,
well, they just won their first SEC game in 3 years.
Right, so, right. Well, but I don't know. It's like Georgia's going to them. It's a noon game, or actually 11 a.m. I guess. But I don't know. Just Georgia likes to start slow. I guess watch out for that one. But yeah, oh, there's this LSU going to Alabama. Good luck. That's pretty much it. Syracuse, man. Ricky Collins, guy transferred, got his start, and yeah, just they kind of moved on mid game. I was watching some of that one. I hate to see it. It's like no one can just make it work in Baton Rouge, unfortunately.
Oh, I had one more note, which is that the official college football playoff first rankings come out Tuesday evening. So you can tune into that show, I believe, on ESPN. They always drum up the drama, and then they drag it out over the 30 minutes. So you might just want to tune into the actual rankings afterwards. But it'll be interesting to see how the committee's opinion stacks up against the AP poll and whatnot, because sometimes they do value quality of wins and strength of schedule and all that a little bit differently. So that could set the stage for how things shake up down the road, even though LSU does not project to be in that top 25 at any point.
Probably not. The one other thing I did want to mention, it was the NCAA is looking at loosening its rules against sports betting, saying that they could make a change that would allow college athletes to gamble on professional sports. Still couldn't gamble on college, but they think that I guess that's okay, that they should be able to gamble on professional sports, because why not? I guess, you know, it's America. They should be able to. I don't know if that's, I mean, I wanted to ask you guys about this, but also it's because Greg Sankey is saying, whoa, we should really not do this, guys. Greg Sankey, he's like speaking out on behalf of all the SEC. I guess, you know, that's presidents, chancellors and such are saying that we say this policy change represents a major step in the wrong direction. I don't know. Just curious what you guys think. I mean, yeah, obviously they can't bet on college games, but I mean, I can see this. I can see the logic in this. When I don't think we should have college athletes betting on really anything until they're out of college, but maybe it's fine legally if they do it, but just, I don't think they should be able to bet on pro sports, because I mean, all these guys are one year away from going to the pros themselves. You know, a program like LSU, where they want the door to open in and out from people that were here years ago, you know, like they did this week. Frank Wilson let a lot of the old players back in. I don't know, guys that are out of the league, guys that are still in the league. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with saying I don't think we should allow this to happen. What say you?
I really don't have a problem with it either. I think I see his point. It's like, the, you know, we're trying to be training professional athletes, and why are we, you know, like you said, like with a guy who's gonna be in the league in 2 years, 3 years, you don't want to get that, like, kind of set the precedent of like, okay, like I'm a big sports gamble, and then now I'm like not, and then I have to stop now that I'm playing in the league. Like, I could see that being a issue. We've already seen with, like, I mean, Kayshon Boutte, a LSU example of gambling while he was at LSU, but also with like the rumors about Shohei Ohtani. And then, like you mentioned, with the big scandal with the FBI that they just popped like a ton of athletes in the NBA gambling. So I think that I don't see any problem with saying, yeah, we should probably not allow these athletes to gamble, even if it isn't on their own sport. And I don't think there's anything like necessarily wrong with that. It's like, well, there's a cost of, you know, there's certain things that I can't do because of my job. There's certain things that you and everyone and all the listeners can't do because of your job or because of, you know, just certain things that you choose to do in life. If you just can't put a $5 wager on the spread of the Buffalo Bills game because you play for LSU, I don't think that's an issue.
Right. The obvious incentive disalignment is like players betting on their own under or something where like maybe they're injured, but they know that, but that the general public doesn't know that, or they almost like fake an injury. That's what was happening in the NBA. Like Terry Rozier was saying, like, bet the under on my points or whatever. And then he sits out after the first quarter or something. Yeah. So it's like automatic cash. And so you could see, like, oh, Kayshawn Boutte betting the under on his own receiving yards. And then he's just goes down with an injury or just literally drops the ball every time. So you really shouldn't be able to bet on your own sports, but something distant shouldn't matter too much. I mean, if these guys are betting on Korean baseball, then it probably won't affect their college football performance that much. Just a slippery slope. And
well, it's kind of just setting up. It's like setting up that mindset.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes along with the general kind of gamblingization, if you could call it that, of sports in general that's been going on over the last few years, kind of that started with the daily fantasy stuff like DraftKings and FanDuel, and then spread into the mobile sports betting after that. Cause it used to be pretty niche. Like you could only bet on sports like in Las Vegas and like New Jersey, and that was pretty much it. Or like your local guy. and then now it's everywhere all the time. I mean, we got the Caesar Superdome for the New Orleans Saints fans, and it has its pluses and minuses. It brings attention and money, but also the ethics and kind of ups and downs that go along with it. Not that I'm trying to get on my high horse here, but just call out some of the points.
Yeah. So in the kind of goes to what both of you guys had kind of said, and either indirectly or directly, but yeah, it's like even if there's not someone that's directly, you know, benefiting from their own injury, let's say, you know, what if, you know, some player at LSU or someone, or a recruit even, like, hey, dude, hey, I see you're playing the Bears this Sunday. Good luck, dude. That's my hometown. I'm like, oh, actually, dude, I'm not playing. Yeah, I don't know. I just twisted my ankle in practice today. Like, oh, word? Okay. And then that kid, I didn't have to say anything to anybody else. But yeah, now he has information.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Guess it remains to be seen what the NCAA will do. I guess I kind of agree on Sankey with this one. Sounds like we all mostly do or all do. That's all I had. Anything else, guys? Because we could probably wrap it up here on a bye week and look forward to Bama.
Agreed.
Okay. That's all I got from my side.
Okay. Well, then that'll do it for us here on Talk of Tigs. Tune in next week. We will have the Bama recap as well as all the other action from college football and coaching searches and president searches too, and AD searches, all three. Got the trifecta going there in Baton Rouge, but we'll have it all for you next week. So until then, have a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.